Praise God. Praise God. Brothers and sisters, I trust you are well. The Lord is keeping you. It's another good morning that God has given us to listen to his word. And we carry on studying the journey of the apostles. And at this time, we are looking at the man Paul. And we have been looking at where they had a sharp disagreement with Barnabas. And what we see from the scripture, that the time for Barnabas had come to an end. God had begun to elevate Paul as his chosen instrument, and now he was no longer Saul, but now Paul. And you know, one of the things that we have learned is Barnabas is ahead of Saul, but Paul is ahead of Barnabas. And that is one thing that happens when you enter into your ordination, when you enter into your destiny, when you enter into the kingdom assignment that God gave you. Before you are formed, when you discover it and you start to manifest it, then you become a different man. And this is something that we must keep looking towards, keep trusting in God, and keep believing. Elisha would have died a farmer if he had not met Elijah, if he had not accepted to go immediately with Elijah. In fact, he asked him, please, let me just go and kiss my mother goodbye. And the parents goodbye, and he went and slaughtered the animals, made a feast, and then he left with Elijah. But you see, Elijah at that point was like, what have I done to you? It is you to decide. And that's the same thing that God does. Whenever he shows a dimension to us, whenever he releases a mantle to us, whenever he shows us things that we should carry, he's just drawing them to us. He's showing them in a vision. And then he leaves you. And then he leaves you to decide, do you want to follow after? Do you want to chase after it? Do you want to seek him? Do you want to consecrate yourself until you are at the place that you can carry that? Or you will enjoy the mundane. You will enjoy the places where you are. Sadly, it's like eagles brought up with chickens. They're supposed to fly, but then they spend all their days crawling until one day they meet that, or they see that other eagle like them flying. Then they realize, I was not meant to walk on the ground, but I was meant to fly. And sadly, many Christians are walking on the ground when God has called us to soar as eagles, to move in the supernatural, to move in places that he has called us to be. And those places are in deeper places. They are in higher places. When Jesus says, launch out into the deep for a catch, it means that there are certain things that are only in the deep waters. There are certain blessings that are only in the deep waters. There are certain revelations. There are certain insights. There are certain graces that are only in the deep. And God is looking forward. God is ever ready to respond to them that diligently seek him. The Bible says he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you are diligent enough to seek the Lord, then you will find that he is equal meet to wait for you and to meet you right at your hunger. There is no hunger that God cannot satisfy. There is no task that is too great for him. Our job is to ask and receive. Our job is to desire, eagerly desire the greater gift. And I speak a word that, Lord, may you feel the hunger. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I pray for an infilling in your life this morning, an infilling that supersedes the hands of men, supersedes what men have thought of you in the past, a fresh anointing, a fresh grace. May your boundaries be enlarged. May your tents be enlarged. May your areas be enlarged. May your influence grow. May you see increase all around, be it in the marketplace, be it in your family, be it in ministry. May you see the hand of God upon your life, because God is ready. He is not limited. Nothing is impossible for him. Nothing. There's nothing that he cannot do. And today we are going to see this man, Paul, and as he starts his missionary journey, his second missionary journey Remember, he desired to go back and strengthen the churches that he had built, that they had established with Barnabas. However, a matter of dispute arose when Barnabas decided to take John Mark. But you see, John Mark had abandoned them. But Paul was not happy, and a dispute grew so big that they had to part ways, and Barnabas takes John Mark and sails to Cyprus, whereas Paul takes Silas. And that's where now we have Paul and Silas, who later on end up in trouble and in prison and in persecutions. He takes Silas and they go with him back to the same places where the churches that he had preached to. And that's all you can read in Acts chapter 15. But now today we are going to look at Acts chapter 16, and we'll start looking at that. Maybe we'll not do all of it, but I wanted us to just focus on this aspect of being all things to all men, which will just be the first five verses, and then tomorrow we shall look at the Macedonian call. So, in Acts 16 verse 1, the Bible says, "Then he came to Derbe and Lystra." Remember, Derbe is where he was stoned to almost death. They thought he was dead. But he's coming back to the same city. He came back to Derbe, Lystra. They were chased away. They had to run to Derbe. Previously, they had run away from Antioch. You can see, from Pisidia, all these places. Antioch of Pisidia, all these places they are running. But the heart of God, the heart of missions, is to go back to those places. And the Bible says, "And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who's believed, but his father was Greek." You see, it's interesting that, you know, the scripture also brings to us the company of Paul. And just to highlight this, that Paul did not travel alone. He traveled with Timothy, he traveled with Silas, and as well also he traveled with Luke, because Luke, who is the author of the book of Acts, is the one who gives us these accounts of all the troubles they have gone through and how they are able to be together. And this is to tell us that we should not be lone rangers. There are things that God has called us, the vision that God has called us to reach the lost needs men who can stand together, men of like passions, men of similar direction, similar vision, men who have the same heart. And at many times, it doesn't need to be already qualified people. The Bible tells us of how Timothy, Paul says that as a son with his father, he has worked with me in the work of the gospel. And remember how from your infancy you have learned that the Holy Scriptures, that they are able to make you wise. And you see, Timothy was a man who was brought up by his mother. And also there was a faith that was in the grandmother Lois and in the mother Eunice, and now was manifesting in Timothy. Now that tells you that this anointing, this Spirit of Jesus, this Holy Spirit does not distinguish, be it the lineage, is it in men or in women? Is it in girls or in boys? I tell you, a girl with the anointing of God can do what more than five sons without the anointing can do. Because it is the anointing that makes the difference. It is the power of God over a person, be it male or female, that can distinguish a man and make a difference in their life. So it's not about, oh, it is only a girl, or oh, it's not a boy, then that you feel that the mantle cannot be transferred. You can see here Timothy received the same spirit that was in the grandmother and in the mother, the same spirit of faith that was there. And this is something that Paul recognized. The Bible says that there was a man, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. Now, this is very important for us to understand, and that there were also some intermarriages. So In these places that are outside Jerusalem, the Jews lived together with the Greeks. And that is why Paul understands that he has a mixed multitude of churches. Verse 2 tells us, he was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted to have him go on with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region, for they all knew that his father was Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and elders at Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in their faith, and increased daily in number. So, you ask yourself, is Paul contradicting himself? One, they have a message to the Gentiles. And the message is coming from the Jerusalem decree that for Gentiles, we are not going to add any other burden on you of being circumcised. The most important thing is this: you keep yourself from idols. Do not take food strangled with blood. Do not, commit sexual immorality. Do not avoid the blood. Do not eat strangled animals. Only these things that we want you to keep, but it is not necessary for you to be circumcised to be saved. Now, the question is, why then does he circumcise Timothy? Does he circumcise him to make him saved? No. You see, those who were preaching in Galatia, those who were the Jews were saying that you cannot be saved if you are not circumcised. Now, Timothy, the Bible tells us that Timothy was a disciple. He was already a disciple. He was already spoken well of. And the Bible tells us that he was spoken well of by the churches in Lystra and Iconium. Now, Paul is one that knows that he has a calling to three peoples. When he was called, he said, God called him, this man is my chosen instrument to send the gospel to Gentiles, to kings, and to the children of Israel. He has a threefold anointing. And thus, he knows that he has a responsibility to become all things to all men that he might win some. And this is something that we will read also from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, maybe just as I finish making this point. He knows that if he is going to preach to this church, and this church has both Greeks, has both Gentiles and Jews, for him to enter homes of the Jews, for him to preach the Jews, he is going to be having a companion with him. He wants to win the Jews, but his companion is a boy or a man, a young man whose mother is a Jew, but whose father was Greek, and because of that, he was not circumcised. It will be a hindrance. It will be a talking point. It will hinder the gospel or the work or the flow of ministry for this people, for the Jews. He's not doing it for the sake of the Gentiles. He is doing it for the sake of the Jews. And for me, it tells me what extent this man, Paul, was willing to go so that he can win souls. He is determined by all means to win disciples. And this does not mean that now you are now going to start drinking alcohol or going to bars so that you can win unbelievers, or visiting prostitutes so that you can win them over, if that is not what God has called you to do and if you are weak. There's a story that is told of certain ministers in the U.S. who all went. They felt that they had the calling to go and preach to prostitutes. And yes, they went. They had a ministry. They were successful. They were able to preach to them. And some were able to be converted. A number of the prostitutes were converted. But something went wrong. In 2 years' time, all those who had gone to preach, they had lost their salvation. They had lost their marriages. And they were actually sleeping and living with some of those prostitutes. It is because they went and ventured into something that they were not ordained for. They crossed the boundaries And instead of them converting the world converted them. And that is a sad story. Because they placed themselves in temptations that were beyond them. Now let's look at what Paul says about becoming all things to all men. And this we can read in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And we will read from 19 to 23. The Bible says, "For though I am free of all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win the Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law." Verse 21. "To those who are without law," he is referring to the Gentiles, "as without law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law." Verse 22. "To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be a partaker of it with you." What he does with Timothy is a classic example, a practical demonstration of his ideology. And he understands that, look here, I'm an apostle. Am I not free? Have I not seen the Lord Jesus? Don't I deserve to carry on a wife like other apostles, like Peter? But you see, I did not choose to take advantage of all my rights, of all the rights in the gospel that I have to, you know, to eat from the gospel. I know it is my right to be a partaker of the offerings and of the gifts, because you cannot muzzle an ox while it is treading, because God was not just talking about oxen. But he says that I became all things to all men. To the weak, I became as one that was weak. To the Jews, I became as a Jew. And how was he as a Jew? Look at this. He circumcises Timothy so that the Jews can receive Timothy, because they know he has Jewish blood and he should be like a Jew. He circumcises him such that they can enter Jewish homes and they can minister to the Jews in those churches without raising hindrances to them. And he also still preaches the message to the Gentiles and tells them, look here, you don't need to be circumcised to be saved. He says, there's even another place later on we'll see where, when he goes back to Jerusalem, he goes and shaves his hair to fulfill a vow, such that they can know that he is keeping the covenant. He is keeping the Nazarite vow together with the Jews, following Jewish customs, such that they can receive him in their synagogues. But you see, whenever the Jews who knew Paul will come, they will be angry and they say, these are the men who are teaching people to pervert Jewish customs, and they will want to stone Peter. Sorry, they will want to stone Paul. So Paul became all things to all men. To the Gentiles, he became as one without law. Not that he was lawless, but he had a law towards Christ. Yes, we are not under the law of Moses, but we are under the law of Christ. A believer has commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, you shall keep my commandments. Jesus said, even before he left, after he resurrected, he gave commandments to his disciples through the Holy Spirit. I tell you, as a believer that is walking in faith and truth, you will discover that there are certain demands that the Holy Spirit places upon you. There are certain commandments that are unique to you. There are certain consecrations that will be on your path of spiritual growth. For some, it has to do with money. God might move them to go beyond 10% in their tithes. That is a consecration. To some, it might be food. To some, it might be fasting. To some, it might be in aspects of their business or in things that people take normal that are not sinful, that God can demand that you move away from this. You see, in the Bible, when there were vessels that were dedicated to the Lord, they could no longer be used for ignoble things. They could no longer be taken back. No. The moment they were dedicated to the Lord, they could not be mixed. I tell you, as children of God, when God has consecrated you, do not mix with the world. He says that do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I pray that God will strengthen you, watch over you, encourage you, give you wisdom to know the difference, to know your limits, to know where you can become all things to all men, but do not become like the world. Let us not turn to worldly principles such that the world converts us, that people will not know the difference between the church and the world. Let us have distinctions. Let us have distinctions. Let us have distinctions. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for my listeners. Thank you that, Lord, you have ministered your spirit to us. I pray even as they go ahead and do other things, as they are in their ministries, in their churches, that, Lord, you empower them. I pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation to rest upon my listeners, that they shall be empowered to understand. I speak understanding. May their eyes be open. May their hearts be open. May every hindrance to your word, may every scale be removed. May the dots be connected. May the love of Christ be made manifest. May the truth of the gospel be made clear. I speak against sickness. I cancel them in the name of Jesus. I cancel pain. I cancel heartache. I cancel pains in the body. I rebuke them in the name of Jesus. All those that are lost in emotional troubles, in emotional bondages, oh God, I speak a word of release this morning. I pray for favor. May you bless the work of our hands. May you bless our families, oh God. May you bless the health of your children. May tumors be removed in the name of Jesus. May healing be made manifest, oh God. May we see an increase all around us. May your hand be upon us, strengthen us, keep us, and watch over us. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Shalom, and have a blessed, blessed day ahead. Bye.